Our first reading this morning is going to come from 1 Corinthians. We'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, which is found on page 1001 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Now I would remind you, brethren, in what terms I preach to you the gospel, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold it fast, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. I'm going to go ahead and read the last part of that, 16 through 19. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. Our gospel lesson will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 5 of Luke's Gospel, also 1 through 11. It's found on page 893 of your Pew Bibles. But again, let us listen to God's word for us. While the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put it out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish, and as their nets were breaking, they beckoned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Our text this morning is a call narrative from the Gospel of Luke. It's about Jesus calling his disciples, calling principally Peter to come and follow him. I've always wondered and been intrigued about the call narratives in the Bible of Jesus calling his early disciples. Mark's gospel, Jesus comes and we're not told a whole lot about how he calls them. They just get out and follow him, leaving us to ask ourselves what it must have been about Jesus to have caused his disciples to stop what they were doing and to follow him. But Luke fills in a little bit more of the story. According to Luke, Peter and others are fishing, and Jesus comes and tells them to put out their nets, and they do so, and they catch a tremendous amount of fish. And in response to this powerful miracle, Peter himself understands how wanting he is, how deficient he is, and demands that Jesus leave him. Get away from me, Lord, because I am unworthy. But then we are told that despite the large catch of fish, that Peter and the other disciples that are with him, they leave all that they have and they follow him. They follow Jesus. I suspect that many of us know a little bit about leaving. We live in a society where people leave all the time, leave one way of life in order to embark on a new way of life. Young people leave the city in which they were raised to go to college and embark on a new way of life. People sometimes leave one job in one city to go to another city to embark on a new way of life. Indeed, most Americans have ancestors who have come from somewhere else. America was founded by people who left one way of life in order to come and to take on a whole new identity and a whole new way of life. And most people, when they leave to go to another place and have left someplace else, pretty much know where they are going. But not so for the disciples. We are told that they have no idea where they're going. They just leave everything else behind and they follow Jesus. I suspect that the most difficult things to leave are those intangible things that help to give us a sense of meaning and purpose. The things that have come to identify us. It's one thing to leave a city, but it's another thing to leave those identifying markers that have come to define us. And there are a lot of things that come to define us. For some people, what matters is their identity of some kind, their ethnic identity. They hold on to that. That might be important, of course, when people come to a new land like the United States and the only people that they know are those who are like them, their fellow countrymen, and so they hold on to that ethnic identity. Some people may get a sense of purpose from their upbringing, from the way they were raised and how that has led them to hold certain views, and so they hold on to those things. For some people, what matters is their particular outlook on life, and they hold on to those things. But we are told that the disciples leave everything behind so that they can follow Jesus. Everything that came to define them, their work, their identity, perhaps even their understanding of God, they leave it all behind and follow Jesus. To follow Jesus, of course, is to become one of his disciples. It means to take on the discipline of Jesus. And when we hear that word discipline, what usually comes to mind is something negative, something that curtails our freedom, a form of punishment of some kind. But to be disciplined is simply to be focused on a particular way of life. It is to leave other alternatives behind, to focus in on one particular way of directing our lives. Discipline is not about the curtailing of freedom, but it's often about finding what it means to really be free, finding what it means to really learn how to live. I was reading an interesting book this week, a book by Tommy Tomlinson called The Elephant in the Room. And it's about his struggle with his weight. He's 460 pounds. And he had always grown up struggling with his weight. Indeed, his own sister had died at the age of 62 because of complications from her weight. And so it was always a struggle with him. And he begins to talk about how the way of life that he so wanted, the way of life that he desired, a way of life that included him being able to eat whatever he wanted, was what was killing him. He wanted French fries and hamburgers and fried fish and all the good things that he had grown up eating, and they were killing him. And so his struggle was a struggle to become disciplined, to learn what it means to become disciplined, to begin to order his life towards the things that might be able to bring him life and health. And as he began to take on that discipline, he noticed that instead of it curtailing his life, it actually began to help him to be able to live. The freedom that he thought he had in being able to eat anything that he wanted was really not freedom at all, because of his weight, there were various things that he couldn't do. He couldn't be able to take public transportation the way he wanted to. He was restricted in his movements. There were things he couldn't do with his family because of his weight. And so the lifestyle that he was living was killing him, and he had to leave that all behind in order to discipline himself to lose the weight that would allow him the freedom to be able to live the life that he desired to live. And the same is true with all of us. It's the way that we live our lives that are killing us. Not just our individual lives, but the way that we live with one another. It is killing us. But we are told that the disciples leave all of that behind. They leave their old way of life behind in order to follow Jesus. But we have to be clear that following Jesus isn't easy. Sometimes it's doesn't even seem to be the things that we desire. I was listening to an interesting discussion not long ago on television. It was in response to a comment that someone had made that, you know, God sends us certain people. God sends us certain leaders. I've heard that all my life. God sends us this person, or God sends us that person. But the point is that God has already sent us someone. God has sent us the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And the question for us is, will we follow him? Will we follow Jesus? Will we leave everything else behind and follow Jesus? Some of us, I think, find it difficult to follow Jesus because Jesus tells us to do difficult and hard things. Things that we would rather not do. Things that seem terribly difficult to us, like finding the discipline to refrain from those fat burgers that Tommy Tomlinson talks about, but much more difficult. Jesus tells us to do things like love our neighbors. And to go further than that, he tells us to love even our enemies. He tells us to turn the other cheek. He tells us that if someone requests your shirt, give him your coat too. He calls us to walk an extra mile. He calls us to deny ourselves and to pick up our cross. But those things are difficult for us and hard for us, and we would rather not do them. And so we look for our own messiahs. We look for our own leaders that are more in keeping with the kind of life that we would rather not leave behind. But we are told this morning that the early disciples left everything, and followed Jesus. Some of you were here for our presbytery meeting yesterday after working for most of that, and you had an opportunity to see the way presbytery conducts business, and there was some interesting business that took place in our presbytery meeting. One of them was some of the amendments that had come down from General Assembly, and one of those amendments was something called the Johnson Amendment. And there was a little bit of debate. If you were here, you saw that the Johnson Amendment that was being debated, and the Johnson Amendment has to do with, you know, the separation of church and state, and it's the amendment that prohibits pastors from being able to talk politically. And, you know, some people are for that and some people are against it, but I always thought it was, you know, kind of, you know, a false debate, a dope debate or whatever, as the kids say, because the issue is not, you know, about church and state. The issue for us is whether or not we're going to be faithful. Whether we will be faithful to God. Whether we will be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we will follow him. Whether we will leave our own baggage behind, our own dispositions, our own prejudices, our own outlook, and follow Jesus. But of course, as I said, Jesus calls us to do difficult things, and we would rather not do those things. Whether we be of one political persuasion or another, the fact is we have no intention of following Jesus, because Jesus asked us to walk the way of the cross, the way of self-giving love. Stanley Hauerwas says that in a world where we are so divided, that we Christians need to remember that the church doesn't have a politics. The church is a politics. It is a way of living and loving and relating and prioritizing that prioritizes the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I know what that way entails. It entails the cross. It entails the way of loving our neighbors and loving God with all of our hearts. The early disciples did not know that, could not know that. They left everything to follow Jesus. And there was a lot they didn't get. They stumbled a lot. They misunderstood a lot. And if truth be told, when the time finally came for them to show that they would be with Jesus through thick and thin, they stopped following him. They stopped following him when he was arrested. They stopped following him when he was betrayed. They stopped following him when he was crucified because they had no idea what it was they were following him for. But it was only after the resurrection that they began to understand that the way that Jesus was leading them was the way to eternal life. Life that had God at the center of it. And they began to follow him all over again. They began to follow him out into the world. They began to follow him even in the most difficult moments. They began to follow Jesus. They left everything else behind and said, "We belong to Jesus. We are followers of the way, followers of the way of self-giving love." They left everything behind to follow him. And so the question for us this morning is, will we follow him? The invitation that Jesus brings to each and every one of us is an invitation to cast our nets into the deep. The invitation to leave the world that we are familiar with, the world that makes us comfortable, the world where we feel at home, but the world that is killing us. The invitation is to cast our nets into the deep, to get out of our old routines, our old understandings, our old ways of doing things, and to follow Jesus into the deep. The deep that brings eternal life. I like what Jesus tells Peter before. He says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of this world. Don't be afraid, Peter. Don't be afraid to cast your net into the deep. Don't be afraid to follow me. Don't be afraid. The world will want to make you afraid, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to leave the old world behind. Don't be afraid." And that goes for us too. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus, because the world as we are living it, the life that the world has to offer, is killing us. Real life comes with following Jesus. Real life comes by walking the way of the cross. Real life comes by loving God with everything that we have and loving our neighbors. And when we can do that, when we become a disciple of Jesus, when we take on the discipline of Jesus, we will find out what it really means to live. They left everything and followed him. And so we too have been called to leave everything and follow him. Follow him into the way of eternal life. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have called us out of all the familiar places that we would rather hold on to. You have called us to follow the one who came to show us what it really means to live, but how we want to hold on. We want to hold on to old prejudices. We want to hold on to old lifestyles. We want to hold on to old ways of looking at the world. We want to hold on to the ways that we look at one another and the ways we look at ourselves, because we believe that that is what gives us meaning and purpose in our lives. But you have called us to do something different. You have called us to cast our nets into the deep, to leave behind our old routines and our old ways of life, to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to leave this world behind, this world of violence, this world of greed, this world of indifference. Help us to leave it all behind, to follow you, because we realize that it's only in loving you and loving in the way that you have called us to love that we can have eternal life, life that has you at the center of it and at the center of our hearts. And so we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.